Why should we think that these values don't add up to a satisfactory life? Why should we think that our choice is only, is either there's a God, in which case our life has value, or there's no God, in which case there's nothing in life to give it value? Life may as well just be just any old thing and just laying in bed and not doing anything. Why should we accept that dilemma? Why can't we accept that there are aspects of life which give life value from the inside? So I think that's an answer to the question, what gives life meaning? Now, we should summarise where we've got to in the course of these lectures, say something about the general position we've arrived at. I was talking then about knowledge and the value of knowledge, and I was giving an example of philosophy as one subject in which we might try to acquire knowledge. And you might, I think, understandably at this point, protest a bit and say to me, well, you say that it's valuable to have knowledge and that philosophy is valuable, but haven't you mainly told us in these lectures how little we know? Haven't you started off with subjects about which we thought we knew a great deal, and in the end you tell us that we don't know very much about it? We thought we knew what the self was. We end up not knowing what the self is. We thought we knew there's an external world. We don't. We thought there was free will. It turns out we're not even clear about what that is. All sorts of subjects, it turns out, we're much less clear about and know much less than we thought. Well, Socrates was the person who long ago urged the importance of people realising their own ignorance, realising the limits of their knowledge. He was the man, he said, who knew what he did not know. Whereas other people in Athens he would talk to were fully confident. They knew all about all these difficult subjects. And when he'd ask them questions about it, they would give answers with complete confidence, which Socrates could demolish in about three sentences. And at the end of every dialogue, Socrates would basically say to his interlocutor, you thought you knew about that, and have I not persuaded you that you know much less than you think you know? Well, yes, that's what he did, and that's what I tried to do too in these lectures. I've exposed areas in which our understanding runs into problems. At one stage, I even tried to explain why our understanding runs into problems, why there were these mysteries. But this is not a purely negative exercise, because it's a good thing to know about the limits of your knowledge. It's one of the most important kinds of knowledge. You should know what you don't know. There's nothing worse than a person who thinks they know what they don't know. The person who's a know-all, full of confidence, they know all about this. And of course they don't. They haven't thought about it. They're confused about it. It's much better to be the kind of person who knows what they don't know, knows the limits of their knowledge, can think about areas where knowledge seems to run into its limits. And that's a far better thing to be. Also, when you go through these questions and think through these questions, the world becomes a much more interesting place. Being a human being becomes a much more interesting thing. And that's an enriching experience when you find that things you took for granted, things which seemed almost boring, like the use of the word I, and the idea that you're the same person as today as yesterday, when you reflect on them, it all turns out to be far more fascinating, far more interesting, far more problematic than you ever thought. And that seems to me makes up for the fact that in the end you might feel that you know less than you thought you knew. So I hope I've given you in the course of these lectures at least an introduction to the main problems of philosophy. I've covered, I think, all the central problems, and I've laid out for you all the main theories. I haven't been able to go in detail into every ramification of each of the theories and all the people who have discussed them. There's an enormous literature, enormous numbers of philosophers who've discussed these things, but I think from what you've heard in these lectures, you should be able to proceed and go to the course notes and find further reading, and you'll have a basis for going into issues in more depth and developing philosophical expertise of your own.
Now that you've completed this course, be sure to test your comprehension by taking the final exam. You'll find the exam on this course's webpage at www.modernscholar.com. If you enjoyed this program, the Modern Scholar series from Recorded Books offers courses in a variety of subject areas taught by the world's greatest professors. Call 1-800-636-3399 or visit the Modern Scholar webpage for a free catalog. This course, produced by John J. Alexander, is copyrighted 2003 by Recorded Books, LLC. The lecture text is copyrighted 2003 by Colin McGinn. The lectures were recorded under the direction of Matthew Kavanagh.